Voices podcast, where we are elevating voices who are reimagining faith. Hey everyone, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Gary.
And welcome to another edition of the Voices podcast. So last time we got to interview Brian Webb, and that was an amazing interview.
Oh yeah, we love Brian.
Brian's so great. So he is the founder of Climate Caretakers to talk more about climate change and creation care and what Christians can do to help with that. So if you missed that interview, make sure you go back and listen to it. It was awesome.
Yeah, and now we're going to do what we're calling continue the conversation. So Kyle and I, we want to spend some time having some commentary, sharing some thoughts, and maybe some practical things that we can do in response to the conversation. So every time you see the words continue the conversation in a podcast title, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be Kyle and I chatting about the previous episode, and we want to invite other people to be a part of the conversation.
Totally. What I've experienced sometimes is I'll listen to a really great interview and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like I want to talk more about that.
Yeah.
But it's a pre-recorded podcast. There's no way to like text in and you're like, well, okay, that opportunity is just gone. So we wanted to try and create the best environment for this possible. So what's going to happen is after we put an interview out, we'll also post on Facebook and Twitter. And if we want you to comment back what you thought about the episode, if you have more questions, you're like, oh my gosh, I want you guys to talk about this also. And if you post on that, we will talk about that in the Continuing the Conversations episode.
Yeah, it's our way of getting a gauge on where people are at with some of the stuff we're talking about and inviting more of a conversation. And I think there, like we've said from the get-go with this podcast, is we realize there are more and more people on the spiritual journey where they're trying to reimagine faith. And we want to know what that's actually looking like, what's resonating, what questions are being asked, how is this sitting with you, all of that. So we invite you to be a part of the conversation through Facebook, Twitter, and well, some of you have our phone number, so you can text us
you
or
can
whatever.
Just text us in. That's...
You know what? This is actually funny because I got a text from somebody. You know who you are if you're listening. And they made fun of me because of the, when Brian talked, he asked the question, so how hot do you think or what would the temperature be of the earth if we didn't have the greenhouse effect? And, and I am, you know what? I set it up well. I said, I'm going to sound really dumb for this.
In your defense, I was so glad you answered first because I would have sounded even worse.
Yeah. So I said 500 degrees. So this person texted the little emoji of the laughing face with the tears and all they wrote was 500 degrees. And, you know what? That hurts. Okay.
But
it hurts.
But thank you for listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. I appreciate that. So yeah, you could text us too and have some fun with that. But yeah, I guess we should talk about the conversation with Brian Webb, maybe revisit some of that and share. I guess I want to share my journey of how this even became of interest to me.
That was where I wanted to start because obviously we didn't get any text in question or a message in questions for this because this is your first time you're hearing about this.
Yep.
But that was my big thing is that you were the person who introduced me to really taking climate change seriously. So I would love to hear more about how this became so important to you.
Yeah. So I think what happened was and honestly, I feel a little late in the game as a Christian in this. Like I wish I would have been up on this years ago, but hey, that's, you know, part of the journey is we just aren't aware of things we're not aware of. So for me, I saw somebody post about Before the Flood, the documentary with Leo DiCaprio. And I don't know, it was somebody I really trust, a spiritual leader that I really look up to. And so I was like, I'm going to check this thing out. Mm-hmm. So Lindsay and I watched it and I kid you not, we were sitting on the couch. And once the documentary finished, we both just sat on the couch. I mean, I cry a lot. Let's be real. That's just who I am as a human.
Your tear ducts are very, very active.
Yes, they are. So, you know, and I had tears coming down my eyes because it just hit me in a way that I don't think I anticipated it was going to hit me. Because I'm not like the outdoorsman or the woodsman that wants to go camping and I've got all my gear from REI. I'm literally the opposite. I prefer to be in a city where there's concrete and I can smell pee. You know, like that's kind of my thing versus going and doing it. So to me, this was not something that is a part of my lifestyle, but being shown this documentary and watching this with Lindsay, and we just had a cool conversation afterwards. It really stirred something in me, and it didn't feel like it was just this activist liberal thing that it gets framed as, mm-hmm. it felt like, wow, God's creation is so beautiful and I've been charged with caring for it, but I know I really don't think about that very much.
Yeah.
So I wanted to figure out ways that I could start to be active, because a big part of it is maybe it's the parenting realm that gets into it a little bit of, I've got kids now, and realizing the way climate change is affecting different people all around the world, I want to pass on a good and beautiful place for my kids to inhabit that is healthy, that has clean air. I don't want to pass off this place that's destruction and there's nothing beautiful left because we've torn down every forest possible. You know, like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm just at the very beginning baby steps of trying to understand what's my role in all of this. So yeah, that's a little bit of it. So, yeah. I mean, what's your journey? What's your thought?
So I remember growing up hearing about global warming and how Al Gore like made up global warming, like he invented the internet, and how it was like, the earth isn't actually getting warmer. And if the earth was getting warmer, then that would be great, because I grew up in Western Washington where it was raining all the time.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, if it gets warmer, then we'll actually have like sun sometimes. So it kind of was this like joke, like, oh, there's no way that can be real. And then like in college, I went to a liberal arts school and they were like huge on sustainability. Like we would have, our dorm buildings would have these like competitions to be like who could use the least amount of electricity and who could have the least waste and all this stuff. And I just thought that was a big ploy for the school to save money. And I was like, you don't actually care about sustainability. Like you just want me to use less power. So that way you make more money off of my expensive tuition.
Okay.
And so I was just kind of jaded towards the idea, because I was like, no one actually cares about this. It's all about money. It's all about money. No one cares about the earth and all this stuff, like whatever. Then in more recent years, because what's weird is I have been the outdoorsy person.
Oh, you totally are that guy.
Like going camping all the time growing up, going hiking all the time, like.
Spends his days off at REI, Patagonia.
I'm wearing Patagonia right now, actually.
I'm looking at him right now.
It's so comfortable. But I just didn't understand the effects of what was happening. And I just didn't understand the science of what was happening. I just thought it was all political and all about money. And so I was just like, oh, whatever. I'm not going to care about this, whatever. And then in more recent years, actually through... actually reading some Patagonia articles, they just talked about sustainable like business practices. And I was like, oh yeah. Like the clothes I'm wearing, like that stuff comes from somewhere and it gets harvested somehow.
Yeah.
And then actually, because you recommended, that documentary with Leo, I watched it too and had the same reaction. My wife and I just sat next to each other, Ainsley and I, we just sat next to each other and went, so can we ever come back from this?
Yeah.
Like, are we too far gone or what's going to happen? And, the more I just started learning about like saving public lands and like not just clean water crisis, like in Flint, Michigan, but like that happens all over the place. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I love going to national parks. Like I want to take my kids to national parks.
Yeah.
I want my grandkids to be able to go to national parks, because like, I've had such great memories growing up and being in the wilderness that it would be so like so sad if that all went away. And so just even in the past couple of years, it's been like, oh my gosh, like this is a big deal. And it's not strictly political and it's not just about money, but it's like, this is a big thing that specifically as a Christ follower that I have a charge to like make a difference with this.
Yeah. So that's what we want to do now is we want to steer the conversation to two specific realms. So number one, hit on how this is not just a political issue, but it's a faith issue for people that want to follow Jesus, that we should take creation care seriously, and then get into some very practical things that Kyle and I are doing that maybe can help you take a first step. Because I think that's what sometimes you can feel, okay, I get it, but this seems like such a global, large issue. I don't know exactly what I can do in my little daily life to actually do something to contribute to solving the problem. So we want to get into that kind of stuff. And I guess I should also, disclaimer is, what we hope is that you don't feel guilt about this at all, that there's this shame of like, how could you be, make sure those lights get turned off right now, go turn them off right now, you know, like, or sell that car that's using only gas, get the next Tesla that comes out. That'd be kind of sweet, actually.
That'd be really cool.
Anyway, so it's not about that. It's about how can we encourage one another to take steps on the journey of taking care of God's creation. Mm-hmm. So getting into the theology of the Bible stuff, if you're somebody that is interested or is looking or needs that, if you look at the very beginning of the creation narrative, Kyle, do you want to read that particular section to us?
Yeah, I have my Bible open in front of me, actually, which...
Very helpful.
It's super helpful. So in Genesis 1, verse 28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fertile and multiply, fill the earth and master it. Take charge of the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and everything crawling on the ground.
So you've got this mythopoetic narrative in here that talks about that God has given a specific charge to humanity to care for creation. And so right at the very beginning of these scriptures that Christians are saying we want to follow and we trust in, there it is. It's take care of the land. And then if you look at a verse like out of Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So those two things come together, and so you have to decide, what do you do with that? What do you do with the fact that we have this seeming charge and that this is God's creation and we are supposed to be stewarding it and passing on a healthy humanity and a healthy world to future generations? I think it's a pretty clear thing that you see in Scripture. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, anything to add there?
Yeah, well, the other thing that got brought up, and I think the verse... or the charge to love your neighbor as yourself from Jesus. The second most important thing.
Brian talked about that. That's right.
Oh my gosh. I have seen that verse in the past couple years has just exploded for me, from meaning like, oh, my actual neighbors, like right across the hall from me or right down the street, to like friends and the people I bump into at work, you know, caring for them. And then it's also just continued to expand to, and just open my eyes to who are my neighbors. And so I just loved how Brian pointed that out. That there are people, not even just in other countries or on other islands that are going to struggle for this, but like people in the United States who are really impacted by this. And so I think that charge from Jesus has also made me put this in a different perspective of saying that one way that I can love my neighbors is by turning my lights off and is by buying more sustainable clothing or spending...
Yeah.
Because this is kind of getting into like stuff I'm actually trying to do for it. But one of the things I'm really trying to do is to try and buy more like durable clothing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get away from like the fast fashion of like, oh, this t-shirt's $4. Sweet.
Yeah.
It looks good now, but after I wash it once, it'll be toast and then I'll throw it away. Man, I wish I meant to look this up beforehand and then I didn't. Rob Bell did an interview with someone on the Robcast a while ago, and their whole company premise is we make really high quality clothes from like scraps, essentially, like the end of a reel of denim for jeans that would just get thrown away.
Yeah.
They take that and turn that into really high quality, like custom jeans, essentially. And they have this whole different brand built around, let's not waste stuff.
Yeah. A sustainable practice.
Totally. And so I'll link that somewhere once I find it. Cause it was so cool. But yeah, I think that I've just started realizing that these everyday decisions that seem so meaningless, like where do I buy my t-shirts or what do I do with my lights? What do I do with my trash?
Yeah.
Like it does have like a spiritual impact as well. Not to like hyperbolize, but
yeah,
I think that's just becoming more and more clear the more I look into this.
Yeah. Well, and the more you look through the way of Jesus and you see what he talks about, you see who he spent his time with, you can't ignore that he talked about the poor a lot.
All the time.
And climate change and our tendency towards a wasteful lifestyle, it affects the poorest nations around the globe. I mean, we're talking entire civilizations and countries that by the end of the century, Bangladesh is the one that I think of. I think Brian talked about this, but their entire country will be underwater. And I gotta wonder how much of our clothing comes from them, but we don't even realize it because we're so disconnected. But the truth is we're actually way more interconnected than we think. And the decisions that I make today about the kinds of clothes I wear, the way I use energy, the car I drive, all of these things are affecting civilizations and people that are in some of the poorest countries. And so it's this charge again from Jesus of, hey, who is your neighbor? And your neighbor is not just, like you said, the literal person that lives next door, your neighbor is anybody. Mm-hmm. And so what are you going to do to love the other the way that you love self? Mm-hmm. So that being said, we're just going to share some of the things that we are specifically doing. And hopefully it'll stir some action into yourself of, hey, here's some very, I mean, we're talking elementary. We're at the beginning of this journey of trying to understand what it means to live a more sustainable green lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, it's funny even me saying that right now. I sound like, I feel like I am such a hippie that I need to like live in the woods with a tent. Like it's yeah. so funny, but genuinely, I really I'm trying to do some stuff about this. So do you want to go first? Or do you want me to jump into some things here?
You can go ahead and go first.
Okay, cool. So the first one is a search engine called Ecosia. I think that's how you pronounce it. So it's a company based out of Germany. And their mission is if you use Ecosia as your search engine, as an alternative to Bing, Google, Yahoo, they plant trees based on the revenue from the ads that you see or you click. So I've been using Ecosia as my internet search engine. And honestly, I'll tell you, it's slower. It's not as fast as Google. It actually uses the same backend stuff as Bing. So you're getting the same kind of results there. But it's just a really simple way that, I mean, I'm on my computer all the time. Mm-hmm. That I can search. And what the cool thing is that they actually give you, they put a little icon up in the top right of the screen to tell you, here's how many trees you've helped plant just by the searches that you've done.
That's so
and I'm
cool.
up at, you know, I've been doing it for maybe a month now and I'm up at like 200 trees, 300 trees. I don't know what it is
right
now.
Hey, look at you planting a forest, my kids.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's with so much deforestation happening all over the world, we need to replant trees because that's what consumes the CO2 out of the air. So it's this whole thing, an interconnected world. But that's a really simple thing that I've found I've done. Is it a sacrifice? Yes, because in my high-tech life that I live, I want everything to be the fastest and the best and the quickest and the, you know, the best search results. But I've just said, you know what, I'm going to get over that and I'm going to use an internet search engine that's maybe not a little as fast, but it's going to do something that is going to contribute. You know, and I've actually heard some people say, well, but if you use Google, you're helping them create revenue because, and they're all about trying to create sustainable practices in a green world too.
Yeah.
So I'm not by any means saying like, oh, these other companies suck or anything like that. But I'm just saying you get to actually see a direct impact of here's a little tiny lifestyle change that I've made. Mm-hmm. And I get to see the contribution that I get to be a part of with this company. So that's one specific one. The other one is a company called Arcadia Power. And I don't know if they're, I think they're nationwide out of the U.S. And what they are is they've partnered with electric and gas companies. You sign up with Arcadia Power. They add a little fee. I want to say it's like $5 to $7 a month. And then 50% of your bill goes toward helping provide green energy. So that's wind, solar, and I think hydropower as well. Nice. So you're... Again, you're investing 50% of your utility bill is going to this company because they've partnered up with, you know, like in California, it's Pacific Gas and Electric, or at least in the Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And that's just a really simple way. I pay $7. I'm happy to do something to contribute in that kind of a way.
So what I need to do that actually. I've been meaning to. So where do you go to do that?
It's Arcadia Power is okay. What it's called.
Sweet.
And if you're interested, I'll send you the link.
Yeah. We'll be in the show notes. We'll post it out too.
Yeah. I got one more. Or
okay, cool. Well, so some of the ones that I've been thinking about are, so I'm usually a big like paper cup, plastic fork and knife person when I'm out somewhere. And I've tried to become a coffee mug, glass cup, and actual silverware person, specifically at work. For work, I just got a new job. It's so great. We get to order lunch in every day. And part of what they do is they like give you all these plastic utensils too. But one of the things that I've tried to do is I'm actually going to bring my own coffee mug to work. So I have my own reusable mug that I get to use.
All right.
And then our company actually, which is awesome, they provide all the glassware and cutlery. So that way you can just use, you don't have to like use a reusable or a disposable like fork for your lunch. You can like use an actual piece of silverware. So that's one of the things I've really tried to do. One of the other things I saw when we had a church, that was a place where I realized I wasted so many paper cups. I was the reason we ran out all the time because I would use one during setup for water. I would use one during the actual service for coffee. And then I would use one at the end for water also. And I ended up seeing there was a couple that brought their own coffee mugs to church. And so they, Yeah, it was awesome. And they sort of made a joke about it. And I was like, you can tease us about it. It's fine. And I was like, no, that's brilliant, because that's an easy way. I mean, depending on how big your church is, you probably can't provide coffee mugs for everybody. That would be a production. But that was something that I just had thought about recently, was like, that's so simple, of bringing my own water bottle instead of using disposable water bottles, and like bringing my own coffee mug to work, because that way when I have coffee, I'm not just creating new waste all the time. Right. Yeah, so simple. It takes, all I have to remember is like, oh, actually Ainsley was telling me about this. There's someone at her work who goes to Goodwill and like buys like cool coffee mugs from Goodwill and just leaves them on her desk. Yeah. And is like, if you want one, you can take one. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, like that's so crazy. So anyways, that was just something that was really simple that I was like, you know, I don't know if I'll feel the difference, but because I mean, I'm not paying for any of that stuff at work, but that's just something so simple that can save a lot of waste.
So Brian talked about this in the episode, that you can cut your own electric bill by a third or a half if you just change everything to LED. So I ended up doing that. And the reason I ask is because I was shocked by how many light bulbs in my house were incandescent. So using the most possible power when you don't need to, with all the alternatives that have come out and with more high technology.
Are those the ones that are the most yellow for those of us light bulb illiterate?
That would be correct. Okay. Well, I mean, you can choose your hue.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Anyways, so I found that 21 of my light bulbs in my house were incandescent. And I didn't live in a big place. It's a 3-bedroom house, 1 bath, 1.5 bath, I mean, and 1,500 square feet. Mm-hmm. So depending on how big your house is, you could have double the amount of those bulbs. Just, I mean, and this is a really simple thing you can do. So I just ran over to Home Depot. I, you know, counted up all my bulbs, checked the different wattage to make sure I didn't short circuit anything. and then I changed all of them. And so I don't really know. I haven't really been able to see the savings cost for me personally yet, but it was just a very simple thing that I could do. Yes, it costs money out of my own pocket, mm-hmm. but in the long run, I'll get that money back just by having high efficiency green LED bulbs that use a lot less power. I mean, we're talking, so just to give you context, many of your household bulbs run 60 watts if they're an incandescent. Mm-hmm. An LED will produce the same light on 5 to 7 watts. I mean, this is a really cool step that's come out. And
yeah,
so
that's awesome.
I think many people just haven't thought through, oh, this is something that I could do. So just maybe your next step is just go around and count all the different bulbs you have and see how many of them are LED. And head on over to Home Depot, Target, Lowe's. I wish we were getting advertising money from them, but we're not. But so as we wrap up, here's a couple other really quick things that if you just want to learn more and educate yourself more, we would definitely recommend Before the Flood, put on by National Geographic.
Yep.
It's a free documentary. You can get it on the Apple TV app. They have, I'm sure there's all kinds of other places. It's on YouTube. You can watch it there. It's awesome. Really well done. And the other thing is a documentary series called Years of Living Dangerously. You can, if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch season one for free on there. Would recommend that. But basically, they take a bunch of celebrities and they pair them up with different scientists, climate experts, and they just show you, they go all around the world to show you different ways that climate change is affecting humanity. And man, it is some eye-opening stuff. So it's really well produced. Oh, so well done. There's 2 seasons right now. I don't know where you can watch season 2 without having to like pay for an actual episode, but I know season 1 is free on Prime. So check it out. Really recommend those. And I think it can, I don't know, just educate yourself a little more.
Yeah, totally. A lot of the stuff that I've realized is because after watching the documentary, I was kind of like, what in the world can we do? Like, what major changes can we take right now just to make it happen? And what I had to come to was, it's going to be small changes and like really intentional decisions. And a lot of stuff I was thinking about doing, because even if you don't care about the planet, everybody likes to save money on their electric bill.
Yeah.
So for me, as a Christ follower, and as an outdoor enthusiast, I was like, there's just multiple reasons why I want to make these small decisions. Even though, yes, it does cost more initially to buy more light bulbs, yep. or it does cost more initially to buy a coffee mug that you want to do. And yes, you do have to wash it, hopefully, otherwise it'll grow mold. But these small things, or if you're going to buy a pair of jeans, maybe it's $100 instead of $30. But making these decisions really does have an impact in the long run, especially if all of us come together and make lots of little decisions. That adds up really, really quickly.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Again, not to guilt yourself into or just feel bad, but small changes can make a huge difference. So we encourage you in that kind of a way. And if you have other ideas that have worked for you, feel free, post on our Facebook or tweet at us, let us know, because I personally am looking for more ways that I can take some action, and I'd be more than happy to hear from you as well.
If you want to check out any of the links to things we talked about, they'll be in the show notes on patreon.com/thevoicespodcast. And with that, this is our first episode of Continuing the Conversation. So thanks to Luke Bechtel for producing and to Screen Sounds for their awesome tunage.
And Brian Webb for being our first interview to launch the Voices podcast.
That was so awesome. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.